Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, hanging out as the NFL draft has come and gone. The Tennessee Titans have made their selections along with the other 31 teams in the NFL. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
What's up, Chaser? How are you?
I am good. It's nice to have a sporting event to talk about. It was a fun weekend. Started Thursday night, well into Saturday. And you know what? I did what I said I wasn't going to do.
Uh-oh.
And I sat around Saturday and I watched a majority of the draft.
That's when did you ever say you weren't going to do that?
Well, I said on Darren Donick and Chase that I would definitely watch the first round and then the second night, so the second and third round. But Saturday I'd probably have other things to do and wouldn't sit around and watch it, and I did. That shows you where we're at in quarantine life.
I'm surprised that you had that low expectations for yourself of watching the draft.
I know. Well, because I usually don't, but we're in different times, so... you know, I always go all in for, you know, the first couple nights. Now, last year was different because obviously it was here. And
we
so
were working the entire
we were
draft.
Working, yeah. Like, I was on the air during the – I will never forget this. I'll just go ahead and peel the curtain back. Ryan's like, hey, you know, we're doing this big draft coverage and, you know, want you to be a part of it and be on the air. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. All right, cool. Well, we got you for the sixth and seventh rounds. I'm like – screw you.
Well, you didn't say that in the moment. You didn't say that in the moment. You said that at about 4 o'clock that Saturday afternoon when round seven was starting, and you're like,
"Who the heck are these guys?"
That's exactly right.
I'm sitting with Chris Sanders and Nick, and we're like, "Have you heard of this guy? I haven't. Like, I didn't even know this was a university." But you know what? That's what it is. And so the selections have been made, and now the Titans are one step closer to knowing what they're going to put out there. They're 55, I guess it is, come September. But I'll ask you this question. As we sit here today on April 27th, do you believe this Titans roster is complete?
Hell no.
Good answer. Not even close.
It's not even close to being done, and I'm okay with that. And we knew that going into the draft, that they had an abundance of needs that they weren't going to totally fulfill in the draft. They got the tackle, which is nice. They got the corner, which is nice. They got Derrick Henry, a backup running back, which is nice. Who knows how the day three picks fit into their plans when it comes to the 2020 roster, but they still need an edge rusher, Clowney, and they still need another wide receiver to replace the loss of Tajae Sharpe. So
yeah,
I was surprised that they didn't pick edge rusher or receiver over the weekend, but at the same time, they didn't have enough picks to go around to the different positions that they needed.
Yeah, they only made one trade, which surprised me. I thought that John would wheel and deal a little bit more.
Trades were down as a whole in the NFL. I think Mike Golic just said it. The trades were in the 20s compared to about 40 last year.
Yeah, I'm going to John. So you're going to hear us say this quite a bit today on this radio station. John Robinson is going to join Darren Donick and Chase today at 1 o'clock, and then Jared and the GM at 4:30, correct?
Yes.
So he's going to be on twice. A very great opportunity for us to be able to ask a variety of different questions. But I am going to ask about trades and if the setup affected trades at all and GMs be able to move up and down the draft. But I was surprised. And ironically, the pick that he traded in the seventh round was the pick that they – got in the Jarrell Casey trade. So,
And that turned into a sixth. So now it's a 2021 sixth round pick.
So he turned that into a six, which is good. But you brought up receiver. I am very surprised because, you know, I was texting with you. I was texting with Teron Davenport, a few other people's. There were some good receivers still on the board because we talked about how deep this receiver class was. And so when they got into the fifth and didn't have a six round pick, but definitely could have moved in if they wanted to, I thought. But didn't do that, had the 3/7, didn't take a receiver. Now reports are that they have signed some undrafted receivers, three to be precise. Mason Kinsey, Kyle Williams, Christian Wilkerson, couldn't tell you anything about them, but signed all the three of those guys as undrafted free agents. But I was surprised that they did not address that position in the draft. Otherwise, I like what they did.
Well, if you were going to, here's the thing. I agree, but if you were to address the wide receiver position in the first three rounds, what position are you taking off the board to do so? Are you not addressing the tackle? Or are you not addressing corner? Or are you not addressing running back? All three of them are or were pretty big needs going into the draft as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But, like, again, fifth round, you probably could have done it. That's the one pick, Laurel Murchison, that I know you needed to look at the defensive line because Casey's gone. I get that. But that's the only pick that I have a little bit of a question mark about. He wasn't on my radar at all. I don't know if he was really on anybody's radar with the Titans. So I need to learn more about the player. But that was the round where I'm thinking, okay, they might address receiver here, and they went D-line. So, again, John Robinson, he had a plan, and I'm curious to hear how much he deviated from that plan, because that always happens, especially when you're picking late in the rounds. So I'm curious of that, but it's a little bit of a concern to me that they didn't address the position. Now, there's still time. I mean, they have undrafted guys that – how many times have you seen an undrafted free agent turn into something? I think I saw a stat that there are actually more undrafted free agents in the Hall of Fame than there are first-round picks. So, I mean, look, it works out a lot of times.
Yeah, what I would say is, you know, we talk – I think a lot of us talked about the draft as the last chance to get someone from that position, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the last chance to get a receiver for 2020. Well, there are still a lot of free agents out there where someone like, I don't know, a Jordan Matthews or a Tavon Austin or a Chris Hogan, Jermaine Kearse, sure. Taylor Gabriel. I mean, these are all players that might be able to fill a fourth receiver need for 1 year. And then in the 2021 draft, in the first couple rounds, you get another receiver.
Right.
You know, especially when said fourth receiver is no longer on the team, and Corey Davis may not be back on the team next year, especially if they don't pick up his fifth year option. So, we would have loved to see all the positions filled over the weekend, but we had to go in knowing that was a pretty big unlikelihood unless John Robinson did a lot of wheeling and dealing to trade back. I think the most interesting thing out of it, Chase, is the fact that they are still in the hunt on Jadeveon Clowney, and
I think they're very much in the hunt.
And they didn't sign a pass rusher or a drafted pass rusher, excuse me. And today there's the 3 p.m. deadline, where after that deadline, any free agents that are signed do not apply to the compensatory pick for the 2021 draft.
3:01 p.m., the Titans announced they have signed Jadeveon Clowney.
So signing him after that deadline would allow the Titans to keep what is expected to be a third-round compensatory pick in the 2021 draft as a result to Jack Conklin leaving for Cleveland. So I'm not saying that at 3:01 – you know, Ian Rapoport or Adam Schefter is going to report that Jadeveon Clowney is a Tennessee Titan. It will probably still take a long time for it to happen, because this is a player that you would love to have your staff, your trainers look at and give a physical to before committing to him. But that just makes it a little bit more interesting in my mind.
Yeah. Now, as I look at the draft picks, this is something that kind of came in my mind when it happened, and I'll bring it to you. So Bradley Anae, I think is how you say his name, edge rusher from Utah, goes to the Cowboys with the 179th overall pick in the fifth round. The Titans had the Titans passed on him, and a lot of teams passed on him. He was one of those guys that I was reading that was falling, and it was a little bit of a surprise. He's an edge rusher. Project wasn't going to be a day one guy, but I was a little shocked, and there were a couple others that they passed on. When they did that, I thought to myself, okay, we're in the fifth round. They haven't addressed edge, which we knew it was a need. I really do think they're going to sign Clowney. I feel like Seattle's out on him. They're moving on.
Are they, though? They released both DJ Fluker and Justin Britt yesterday off their offensive line, clearing up a lot of cap space that could go to Clowney.
I still give – no pun intended. I'm still giving the edge to the Titans. I feel like he fits so well here, and he has to see that. Maybe that's just my opinion, but I think he fits Vrabel. He knows Vrabel. He'll fit this team. I have a really good feeling about it, and I know my feelings have been wrong before. A lot of people have had good feelings and been wrong, but that I'm going to be watching that 3 o'clock deadline and see if sometime this week they're announcing Jadeveon Clowney, or if he announces that he's signing somewhere. That I feel like this is about to have a resolution.
Well, and if it's not Clowney, could it be Marcus Golden? I mean, Marcus Golden is a player that I know Teron Davenport has been talking up a lot ever since the beginning of March when free agency was about to begin, where if it's not Clowney, if you get Marcus Golden, you're still boosting your pass rush. And I still really feel that they need to do that before week one, because the current collection of pass rushers is not strong enough to wreck Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes or any other, or even Phillip Rivers. Like, you have to get pressure on the quarterback, and they have not done that enough over the last few years, and it bit them in the rear against Mahomes in Kansas City. But that game alone isn't the reason why they need to go get a pass rusher.
All right, let's read a couple of texts before Joe Rexroad from The Athletic is going to join us. Ben writes, Titans are worse than last year. Conklin, Casey, and Logan, we know, worked well here. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Even if our draft picks play amazing and match our lost free agents, we still aren't any better. Clowney might be our best chance to take the next step. I think Ben is looking at the glass half empty. However, I do agree that I don't think this team as currently constructed is better than how last year's team ended up. Agree?
Better right now than
I don't think they're there yet.
No.
I don't even think they're close. But
no, I don't know.
It's also April 27th.
They might be closer than we think. There are some players that we may have overvalued off of last year's team that are no longer on there. I think the loss of Logan Ryan is perhaps the biggest one, because you basically have a coach on defense and you have a change at DC, and having Logan Ryan back there with Mike Vrabel as, you know, the DC and the head coach, I thought would have been really nice to have.
Is he officially the DC? Have they officially made that announcement?
No, but is, I mean,
I know, but like, it's like April 27th at this point, go ahead and just say it.
I agree.
I'll add that to my list. Things to ask about today. Adam, real quick. Adam, what's up?
Hey, I watched all day on Saturday, which I'm pretty happy with the draft overall, but I didn't even realize I was such a big Juwan Jennings fan until I got so upset when they drafted him. And I just wanted y'all to touch on him real quick, because I feel like he's going to dominate the league, and I don't know if I'm a biased ball fan saying that. I've loved the guy since freshman year. So, yeah, it's a personal thing, but he's a monster. He's huge. He's a big target. I feel like he's going to fit really well with San Francisco, and I think the Titans missed a huge marketing opportunity with him.
All right, thanks, Adam. I think he's talented. I think he's hurt himself with some of the stuff, you know, the stomping the player and just some of the off the field. I think that's why he fell in the draft. But do I believe that he's got a chance to make it in this league? Absolutely.
I don't think that's why he fell. I think he fell because he's not that fast.
Well, too.
He's a good receiver, but I view Juwan Jennings as more of a good college receiver than a good NFL receiver. And, Adam, I do think your Vols bias is showing there.
That's all right. It's okay. Cover that up a little bit.
But we all have our own biases.
Yes.
It's okay.
Cincinnati for you. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, he is in the on-deck circle. It's The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on The Rundown, Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth. We are from our home studios. Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We say hello to Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. He's been busy all weekend covering the draft and also watching The Last Dance and The Bad Boys being featured on there. Joe, what's up?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Man, I'm feeling good today. It's nice to have something to talk about other than old games that they have been showing. But let's start with the NFL draft, and it was obviously different. We remember last year and what it was like being right in the middle of it here in our city. But overall, how did you think the process went from a production standpoint and actually executing it from the team standpoint?
I thought it was great, you know. And I know it's sort of like, did you think it was great because, just like you said, Chase, you know, it was sports and we were desperate for it to happen. Maybe a little bit, but, you know, I didn't think – I mean, here and there, maybe one of the analysts would, you know, come in late or get cut off or whatever, something like that. But the technical problems weren't much, and I really thought it was cool to see both the players at home. There were some funny scenes, and, you know, and I think maybe it's just different.
Uh-oh. So speaking of technical difficulties, I think we might have just lost Joe.
This is the biggest technical difficulty in the last 5 days.
Oh. There he is.
You got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, I don't know what happened. But anyway, yeah, the players at home, and then and I thought it was really cool to see, you know, some of these GMs and coaches with their families too. You know, Belichick with his dog, and obviously the Vrabel scene the first night. I thought it was really good, you know. I mean, obviously the NFL is going back to huge. I mean, they've turned this into such an event, and Nashville is going to be tough to top. But considering the circumstances, I thought this was a really cool kind of different way to do it and a different glimpse at some of these people.
Yeah, and I thought your article was hilarious after the first round. Very well done by you. A lot of alliteration. So that was good.
Chase.
That was
very
good.
I like poop jokes, man. Any chance you get to do some poop jokes, and you got to jump on them, you know?
I agree. That's what you have to do. So looking at the Titans class overall, they address a lot of needs. The tackle, of course, in Isaiah Wilson with the first pick, Christian Fulton from LSU, the corner. They get a backup running back, and then they go and fill some other needs with the other three picks. They end up trading one of the sevens, even get a quarterback. How would you evaluate the class for John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was good. Isaiah Wilson, at first I was like, man, I don't know. Like, don't you need to grab, you know, someone who, you know is going to make an impact next year? But the thing is, they get Fulton with the next pick, you know, and it seems like, man, Robinson's kind of got that magic touch of having that feel for when a guy's going to drop to him, just like Landry, you know, got A.J. Brown last year in the second round. So, you know, I think that worked out really well for them. You know, I think Darrington Evans looks like a really good complement to Derrick Henry. It's going to be fun to see him and see what he can do. A little bit more depth in the back end and up front on D. And then obviously, yeah, I mean, Cole McDonald is going to be interesting, you know. I mean, I think he's got a lot of ability. I like that as a developmental, you know, choice, a guy who, you know, because you could have taken other guys maybe who were a little bit more safe and sturdy there. But I like the idea of take someone with a ton of ability and a ton of production, you know, but it's a system QB thing. You don't know how it's going to translate. You just see what happens with them. So I think I like that too. So, you know, I thought maybe they'd take a kicker. And I also was very curious to see if they were going to take an edge or not, and they didn't. And so that's just going to feed the narrative of Clowney to Nashville until either it happens or doesn't happen.
Joe Rexrode of The Athletic is with us. And, Joe, I kind of want to pick up there with Jadeveon Clowney. No edge rusher, like you said. If you had to guess, is Clowney going to be in a Titans uniform in week one?
Yeah. No, I mean, if I had to guess, yes. Now, you know, it doesn't mean it's just snap their fingers and it's done. I mean, obviously the physical is important, and the number is huge. And, you know, what is Clowney, you know, what's he willing to take? Does he look at this like, give me a 1-year deal, I'm going to dominate, and then I'll go back on the market? I mean, there's a lot to figure out there. But, I mean, if you listen to Seattle's GM, what he said before the draft, he had a radio interview about Clowney. I mean, it sounded to me totally like, yeah, that's in the past. And then their first two picks are essentially, you know, an outside linebacker, they take Daryl Taylor with the next pick. I mean, you know, it seems kind of obvious to me that Seattle's moving on. So who else is out there? I mean, I've heard, you know, Cleveland and stuff, but I mean, to me, there's no one who makes no one close to making as much sense as the Titans. And I think the pre-existing relationship with Vrabel is absolutely a big deal here. You know, and they got along well in Houston, and I think it makes sense on all sides. It just that number's got to work out, and that physical's got to have the right results.
Joe, do you feel like the drafting of Christian Fulton in round two is a sign that the Titans are saying goodbye to Logan Ryan officially?
Yeah, I do. And I think even some things said before the draft kind of hinted at that too. And it's going to be really interesting with Logan Ryan to see where he ends up. But, I think obviously that's a big number. They could handle it if they didn't sign Clowney. Now, that's the thing. If they don't sign Clowney, right now they're sitting there with cap space that, to me, you know, when you're in their position, and to me it's like, go get everything you can get. I mean, you want to leave some room for flexibility during camp if someone gets hurt, of course. But I do. It certainly seems like Logan Ryan is moving on. And I think it really comes down to just speed. Look at in the AFC, who they are playing, who they are dealing with. And I think they feel like they need – they're going with three corners a lot, of course. They have that 4-2-5 a lot on the field. And they feel like all three guys have got to be able to run better. And certainly Christian Fulton runs a lot better than Logan Ryan.
Talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. So one position that I thought they would address in the draft and they didn't was receiver, and we brought that up. They've signed reportedly three receivers as undrafted free agents, but how do you feel about the wide receiver depth on this team right now?
No, that's a good point, Case. I was a little surprised by that just because it was so loaded, you know. And again, I still feel like, and I know it's just, you know, it's like this gets beaten to death, but they really don't have – that quote-unquote speed guy, and I thought there were some good options in that way in the draft. So, we'll see on the undrafted guys. You know, look, Khalif Raymond did a heck of a job late last season. Cam Batson was hurt. He's coming back. So you got to remember those guys too. I think obviously they feel great about their top three. But we'll see. I still thought that they might grab someone. And I still think that that's the one area where this offense could be even better than it was in the second half of the season when it was one of the best in the league. I mean, if you can stretch people a little bit more that way on the field, you know, think about how much easier that makes it for everyone else. But you know, I think A.J. Brown, his role will expand too and might see more vertical stuff for him.
So when you look at this roster on April 27th, I asked Ryan this. We both agree that it's still incomplete. It's not even close to being complete. Where would you rank it, though, in comparison to last year and how the roster shaped up and ended going to the AFC title game? How far away do you think they are from at least being to that point?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing with that, of course, if you're looking at what they put on the field – of course, they didn't have Malcolm Butler, so they got him back, so that helps. But look, I mean, you are weaker at right tackle, and I'm still saying that until we see Isaiah Wilson, you know, and how he develops. I mean, I think it's definitely fair to expect him to need some time. I mean, I would think Dennis Kelly would be starting. So, you know, they're weaker at right tackle with Kelly starting instead of Conklin, and they're weaker on that defensive line. Obviously, with Jarrell Casey gone and Austin Johnson gone too, they added to that depth. And, of course, you know, some of this, Chase, the question the Titans need to answer it with some guys improving individually, like Jeffrey Simmons. I think they obviously believe he's ready to come in and be a force all season. You know, that's different, obviously. Harold Landry continues to develop. I mean, can he take another step? You know, and some of that, Corey Davis, I think, is obviously a huge year for him, and he can produce more than he did. So some of it is guys like that. But I would say right now this roster as it stands is a little bit less. Obviously the draft helped. I mean, Fulton coming in, I think, you know, certainly you're going to plug him in. He's going to be able to play. I mean, it really does
come down to me to, like, you know, are they getting Clowney or not? Because if they get him, then I think that easily pushes them past last year's roster.
Real quick before we let you go, The Last Dance featured the Pistons quite a bit last night and the rivalry that they had with the Bulls in the 90s, the Bad Boys, of course. What did you think about episodes 3 and 4?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, I'm loving the documentary, and of course I am an unapologetic Bad Boys fanboy. So
yeah, you are.
Yes, I am. But, you know, the thing is, it's like the whole thing with the walk-off and everything. I'm glad they showed the Celtics doing it, because that was one thing that always bothered us who followed the Pistons. Is like, wait a minute, like, these guys bailed on them too. No one made it the big deal. But look, man, there's hatred there. But there's also, I think, you know, I think it was good. The Pistons got some due for beating them 3 out of 4 times and winning 2 in a row. And I thought the Rodman stuff was really good. Man, I mean, that guy, such a huge fan of that. That's what made it hard for me to hate the Bulls, because I had Rodman. It's like, how do you, you know, you got to love that guy. But no, I thought it was good. And Jordan, as that scotch or whatever he's drinking gets a little lower, like the F-bombs get a little looser. So, I mean, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it's been very well done for sure. Can't wait for the rest of it. Joe, good to talk to you. Thanks as always. We'll talk soon.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me. See you later.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. You can follow his work there. And, of course, just great at Joe Rexroad on Twitter as well. Give him a follow. So Jadeveon Clowney, Ryan, we're going to discuss that when we come back. Just how close are they to getting him? Could it happen in the next few days? We will discuss that next here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you own or manage a small business? Are you open and want to let people know about that? Then Free Business Friday on 102.5 The Game is for you. This Friday, we're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer. Visit thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. From your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, better known as Evolution. Happy that you were with us on this Monday. Ryan, I know that joke went over your head. Just move on.
Yeah, I thought Marquise was known as Munson.
Well, our group is Evolution.
No, just move on, Chase. John Robinson.
John Robinson had a lot of work to do this weekend, and he's going to join us today at 1 o'clock. Also, 4:30 with Jared and the GM. But Jadeveon Clowney continues to be out there as a free agent. He is unsigned. And, of course, J-Rob was asked if that had anything to do with how he went about drafting this weekend.
I think that drafted as many good football players as we could at a lot of different positions. You know, we looked at some edge guys today. We looked at some edge guys the previous 2 days. At the end of the day, we're excited about the guys that we had. And then, you know, the roster building process is never over. You know, we'll continue to look at guys that are available, you know, in the post-draft process, these rookies that did not get drafted, you know, as well as some veteran guys that are still out there.
John Robinson on Jadeveon Clowney. So, Ryan, we've kind of thrown this out there already. I know you have a poll question up. Let's start with that you put at 102.5 The Game. Where do you stand on Jadeveon Clowney? Do you want John Robinson to sign him? What are the results?
The results right now are 55% sign him now, as in like right this second at 9:34 a.m. on a Monday. 34% yes, depending on the money. 11% no thanks. 0% the pass rush is fine.
I am so proud of you, Titans fans. I am so proud of
0%.
You. 0%. 0%
the pass rush is fine. And so, I mean, that means really 90% of Titans fans in one form or fashion want John Robinson to sign Jadeveon Clowney. Some saying no matter what the cost is, some saying depends on the cost. We discussed this at length a couple weeks ago, and you know, I was pretty adamant that you don't sign Clowney if it's more than $13 or $14 million, especially if it's a multi-year deal, because he's got a lot of injury history that that concerns a lot of people. And when it comes to actually sacking the quarterback, he hasn't been all that productive in his career, at least compared to how people talk up the name Jadeveon Clowney. But if you do get him around 12 or 13 million, especially if it's on a one-year deal, if you get Clowney on a one-year deal and he's motivated to go back to market in the offseason and get a big payday, then you might like the result if he stays healthy.
Yeah. Well, and look, I'm just giving you the numbers. His career high in sacks, 9.5. Vrabel was the DC in Houston. I'm not saying that Mike Vrabel has some magic touch, but the numbers just tell me that. So you don't have to. He doesn't have to come here and have double-digit sacks. You just need him to be productive.
Well, here's the difference there in terms of expectations. Is back when free agency started, you expected Clowney to get what, 20 million, or that's what he was asking for?
No, I didn't. I never
right. That's what he
that.
Was asking for. Excuse me. That's what he was asking for. Well, if you're paying $20 million to a pass rusher, yes, you're going to expect double digit sacks. It's kind of like the Matt Duchene conversation where people were thinking that he was going to get upwards of nine, maybe even $10 million in free agency last year. And it's like, well, if you're going to pay him that, then you're setting up the expectations to be, you know, one of the elite centers in the National Hockey League, and he's just not one of the elite centers in the National Hockey League. He's very good, and Jadeveon Clowney, when he's healthy, is very good, but he's not one of the elite defensive players in the National Football League, even when he's healthy, at least from a production standpoint. But you add him to the front seven at a good contract, then you're looking at a defense that could really wreak some havoc on quarterbacks this year, because then you'd be basically rotating Clowney and Landry and Beasley as your pass rushers, and you're able to manage their load when it comes to the number of snaps, and all of a sudden you feel a lot better with those three than sure. you do today.
Yeah, that's why I'm all for this. Again, the price has to be right, but you know, if they get him on, let's just talk out loud. Let's say they get him on a 2-year deal and they're paying him $13 million a year. Would you do that?
I wouldn't go over 13, but yes.
Okay. So that to me would be all right. You have the cap space to do it. We've pretty much closed the door on Logan Ryan, and look, you know, I was all about re-signing Logan Ryan for a very long time, and then you know, I sat there and I said, if he's going to command 10 or 10 million or more, this team has other needs that they have to address, and they can get a corner in the draft, which they did. And so in Christian Fulton, and so you got to move on now, but they still need pass rush. They did not fix pass rush. They didn't even address it. So they have to get somebody in here, and Clowney is by far the best one available on the open market.
Would you be okay if today they signed Marcus Golden and not Jadeveon Clowney?
Sure. I'd be fine with that. I mean, I think I would prefer Clowney. Clowney's 27 years old. I need to look at Golden, how old he is. But I still think Clowney is, I don't know if he's in his prime or if he's just entered it. I mean, 27 is still a ripe age for a football player. I know he's had injury concerns, but I still like that. I think you're getting him at the right age. You agree? You know what I mean by that? I just feel like that he still could have another level that he hasn't hit yet.
I wouldn't say there's another level to him. Maybe there's a consistency within his game that he did not have in Seattle last year.
Golden's 29.
Well, I mean, Golden has been a boom or bust player in his career when it comes to sack totals within a given career.
Yeah.
And look, maybe they look at Clowney as a better fit for the defense, or Marcus Golden as a better fit for what Mike Vrabel's trying to do on defense. I would be fine with Marcus Golden, depending on the contract. I wouldn't pay Marcus Golden double-digit $1 million per year.
Well, okay.
And so at this point, he's probably not going to get that.
No, and let me ask you this, because you just said something. You just said that maybe they view Marcus Golden as a better fit. If that were true, then Marcus Golden would be coming up in press conferences, in my opinion. I know J-Rob could be playing a game, but he's brought...
What do you mean by that?
He's been asked about Jadeveon Clowney multiple times, and he answers the question. and he brings it up. Now, is he showing his whole hand? No. But
how does that relate to Marcus Golden?
He's not coming up. That's what I'm saying. I think the Titans are showing interest in Jadeveon Clowney, and at least publicly we haven't seen that they're interested in Marcus Golden.
Because he hasn't been asked about Marcus Golden.
I actually think Teron did ask about him at one point in time.
Okay, well, Jadeveon Clowney is such a big name in football that, yes, he's going to continually get asked about him, especially when he's like the best free agent left. Yes, he's going to get asked about Clowney, and I've been surprised that John Robinson has been so open about talking about Jadeveon Clowney. But just because he doesn't bring up Marcus Golden doesn't mean that Marcus Golden is out of the picture.
Well, I'll ask about him just for you. Just so we can say he's been brought up. I'll ask about him later on today.
I mean, I don't know where you're going with that with Marcus Golden, if I'm being completely honest. Like, well, he's not going to just bring up, hey, you know what, media? We talked with Marcus Golden yesterday. And
I'm not saying that. I'm not. But my point is Jadeveon Clowney gets addressed. And you're right. Maybe Marcus Golden is not being asked about enough.
And that's driven by the media.
Yes, but he doesn't change the subject all that fast. I think there's definitely an interest.
He tried to change the subject in that answer to Joe Rexroad's question that we just heard earlier in the segment.
Yeah, well, okay, that's true. Fine, you win. Just kidding. We'll see. I think that 3 o'clock deadline today, though, could tell us a lot. I think once that passes, then you're going to see some things really pick up.
I think you'll see some free agency signings here and there, maybe.
Yeah.
After 3 o'clock.
The post draft wave that we always see.
Right, but I'll say this again with Clowney. I just think the injury history is going to keep this dragging on until the Titans team doctors can get a chance to run a physical on him. Especially if it's a multi-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's a fair point. Now that could happen here in the next couple weeks. They might be able to actually do that. So we could have resolution at some point. But you're right, and I think that that's one reason why he's still on the open market, because some teams, you know, they look at that like, well, we can't run a physical right now, so we're not going to risk it. Real quick, what did you think about Jameis Winston and the Saints?
I mean, look, if he doesn't play with the Saints in 2020 in terms of actually getting on-field snaps, he's at least learning from Drew Brees for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that will do him some good in the future. Maybe he's rolling the dice with New Orleans like Teddy Bridgewater did. Look, the market for quarterback right now just isn't great. I mean, Cam Newton is still out there. I would be interested to see where Cam Newton lands.
I just saw somebody wrote an article that the Patriots are now the favorites to sign Newton because they didn't address quarterback.
Well, maybe they're talking. Maybe they're having the same conversation in Boston today with Cam Newton and the fact that the Patriots didn't sign a quarterback, as we are here in Nashville talking about Jadeveon Clowney because the Titans didn't draft an edge rusher.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for the Green Bay Packers, there's no star receiver out there to be had in free agency because they did not draft a wide receiver to everyone's surprise.
But they got a quarterback. So
hey, they got a halfback/fullback/tight end out of the University of Cincinnati in the third round. Good luck with that.
Congratulations.
I like DeGuara. He was nice with the Bearcats. But third round for that player. And like Aaron Rodgers still has 3 or 4 more good years left in him. He is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you are not maximizing the final years of his existence in Green Bay by drafting his predecessor, or his successor, excuse me, and then going out and drafting a running back in round 2. Like, what are you doing, Green Bay? You have to surround Aaron Rodgers with the best pieces imaginable, and having Alan Lazard going into 2020 as your number 2 receiver isn't going to win you football games. Sorry, you're not going to make it to the Super Bowl with this roster. They should have drafted a wide receiver in the first or second round. They should have added more pieces around Aaron Rodgers and not planned for his exit in 3 or 4 years.
It's okay. Belichick's dog is working on a trade right now for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All right. You know,
I'm sure that's what's going to happen. It is the run.
And we'll see how that goes for Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they'll get Belichick, will swindle them, and they'll get like a fourth round pick for Aaron Rodgers. And Belichick will win another Super Bowl because, you know, he's Bill Belichick. That's what he does. Are you working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic? Stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. It is The Rundown. Chase McKay, Ryan Porth. We'll talk Last Dance when we come back. ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Recent disasters in Middle Tennessee have forced many nonprofit schools and religious institutions to slow down or put their work on hold at a time when we need them the most. The Big Payback is a 24-hour online giving event to support hundreds of local organizations. Let's come together online at 6 p.m. on May 6th through 6 p.m. on May 7th and help lift them back up, because when the world is upside down, giving always matters. Learn more at thebigpayback.org. Welcome back into The Rundown. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson hanging out as well. So, The Last Dance, episodes 3 and 4. And I'm going to admit this. So, my dad, I was hanging out with him for his birthday. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Mr. McCabe.
Yes. And we watched actually episodes 1 and 2 because he had not watched it yet. And I was like, you're missing out. You got to check this out. So I ended up watching the first 2 episodes again before they aired 3 and 4 of The Last Dance. I'm continued to just love this. I think it's very well done. Enjoyed learning more about the Bad Boys because, again, I was a little tot when all that was going on. And that rivalry and the hatred, as Joe Rexroad brought it up, it's real, and it still exists today. You know, I was laughing when they showed Jordan the iPad of what Isaiah had to say, and he was like, yeah, whatever. That basically was his reaction.
Yeah, and he had some additional commentary to that that we cannot repeat on these airwaves. I thought that was the highlight of last night's episode. All the hype was around Rodman, and that stuff was fascinating, especially the trip to Vegas. But the back and forth between the Bulls and the Pistons, and Michael Jordan's, he still hates the Pistons to this day, the Bad Boys. And I just thought that was really funny, the moment that you bring up of them handing him the iPad and he watches the clip that we had just watched on TV, and he's just sitting there with his drink of choice, with a very colorful mouth of his going off on Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys. That was certainly interesting. Also, what did Nashville ever do to Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, okay, well, if you missed it, this is what Dennis Rodman had to say about Nashville.
Do you come to Nashville sometime?
No. I've been in Nashville, brother.
Okay, so I can't decide. Now, if he said that today, I would almost interpret it as, oh, he's been in Nashville, and he's been on Broadway, and it whipped him, and he had a really bad hangover. That's how I would interpret it. Now, back then, not so much. I mean, it was a much different city. So I'm wondering if he has changed his mind about Nashville at all. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the Memphis Grizzlies, yeah, okay. Enjoy taking your little pot shots. I saw that on Twitter last night.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, they did a Memphis greater than and then quoted Dennis Rodman.
Oh, no.
So, that's cool. Hey, you want to talk about hate that really exists? Memphis and Nashville. That is a thing. For those of you that are new to the area, Memphis and Nashville, it's a thing.
And I think people in Memphis dislike Nashville more than the people in Nashville dislike
Memphis. Oh, absolutely.
Memphis. That's more of a one-way thing.
They're still salty that the NFL came here and didn't go there because they built the Liberty Bowl in hopes of getting an NFL team, and they never did. And then, just to pour salt in the wound, the Oilers went and played a season there with the intention of always going to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and the city, you know, Beale Street in Memphis is a really cool spot with a lot of live music, but then they look at their brother 3.5 hours east in Nashville that has become one of the tourist capitals of the country, and Broadway and Demumbran and Second Avenue and everything going on here, in Nashville, and they're probably, you know, kind of crying over spilled milk of, well, we've got Beale Street. Beale Street, we think, is better than Broadway, when in reality, Broadway is undefeated.
Yes. So you brought up Dennis Rodman, and I loved the stuff on him. I thought that they did good working that in. And if you haven't seen the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30, I highly recommend it. It's very well done as well. But just him going to Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan saying, hey, I need a vacation in the middle of the season. That is such a Dennis Rodman thing.
And how about MJ flying to Vegas and going to his hotel room and basically knocking on the door as Carmen Electra is in Dennis Rodman's bed.
Yes.
And Carmen Electra admitting on the Last Dance last night that she scurried away and hid from MJ before Dennis Rodman opened the door. And then MJ basically brings Dennis Rodman back to Chicago. What I thought was kind of the funniest part of that is that they're out there practicing or doing a shoot around on the court, and everyone is in their gear, their jersey or their shorts, whatever, and Dennis Rodman is going out there in pajamas.
I know. But
hilarious.
As they said in the Last Dance, they were like, listen, we knew that when it would come to a game that Dennis would come to play, and you just had to treat him differently because that's what he was. And so they just knew that those were the things that they were going to have to do to get the best out of Dennis Rodman. And they did. And he was a very, very important part of those teams. I mean, I thought, you know, when Pippen was out, you saw how important Dennis Rodman was. I mean, he played the role of, you know, Robin to Michael Jordan's Batman. So that's they got what they needed out of him, and just had to do some silly things. I do wonder, because I saw this, that Steve Kerr, you know, because he's been featured in this a lot, he talks about, and this wasn't in this part of the documentary, it might be later, but Dennis Rodman actually skipped a practice for the NBA Finals to go to wrestling because he was being featured in WCW at the time. And so he skips practice to go to wrestling, which is, again, a very Dennis Rodman thing to do. I thought they would show some of that last night, but I can't remember exactly when all that happened. I guess it was closer to June, closer to the finals.
You know, one thing that I also took away from really these first four episodes is, you know, the fact that the NBA is such a different league now.
Low scoring back
what
in
it used
days.
To not only the scoring, because when they put up those final scores, those are a lot of scores after three quarters of play in today's NBA, and not the final score. But you know, you have all these star players that stayed with basically one, maybe two teams, but Magic with the Lakers, Bird with the Celtics. You had the Bad Boys in Detroit. You had Jordan with the Bulls, and you have these legendary players staying with one team for a long time. And I know free agency has changed all sports in that realm, but it feels like the NBA is a completely different animal where superstars will just jump from team to team to team.
Yep.
And join forces with their friends or with other great players and attacking it that way. Like LeBron James is going to end up with the Cavs, the Heat, then back to the Cavs, then the Lakers, and who knows if there's another stop after the Lakers. You know, you have Jordan with basically one team before he unretired and went to the Wizards. I wish today's sports were a little bit more like that back then, because I think you would have had more natural on the court, on the ice, on the field rivalries than we do today.
Yep, I would agree with that. But that's going to do it for us. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so we'll have more to discuss with The Last Dance later on in the week. Ryan, great job. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. But stick around. Darren Donick and Chase is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.